So welcome to Reach Out. Glad to have you here. We've had Easter last week, the week before that, our Easter extravaganza event. We have a fishing derby coming up this Saturday. We've got a baptism coming up the day after that. God is doing some cool stuff here at Reach Out, and we're so glad to have you here with us to participate in it, because without you, it doesn't happen. You serve, you give, you make this your home, and we are so blessed to be able to participate alongside of you. So thank you for being here. We're really excited to be able to share in what God's doing here at Reach Out with you, and it's just awesome to be a part of it. God's doing some cool stuff. Amen? All right. So my name is John, for those of you who don't know me. I'm the assistant pastor here, and I get the honor and the privilege of sharing with you a word that I believe God has been putting on my heart. So I want to start off with a story. Back when my wife and I bought our first home, it's going back 12 years ago, which is crazy to think it's that long ago already. We were getting ready. We bought a complete fixer-upper, had to, you know, gut it down to the studs and rebuild it. And so I was shopping for some windows for it. So I go to Home Depot, and I went to the manager there, and I said, listen, you know, I have some flexibility on sizes of the windows, so I was wondering if you had any returned orders, anything that I could get a discount on. What do you got? You know, we were building on a budget. We were trying to be as frugal as we could with this, and his eyes got about as big as saucers. He's like, I've got the windows for you. And so he was excited to unload some inventory and get rid of stuff that's just been stored there for a long period of time. So we're running all over the store. He's taking me up to the top shelves, showing me a window he has there, across to the other end of the store, to the point I start feeling bad because I'm taking up a bunch of this guy's time just running all around the store trying to find these windows. I know he's doing his job, but I can't help it. I'm Canadian. So, you know, I was starting to feel a little bad for him. And so I was apologetic. And I'm saying, oh, man, I'm really sorry that you have to do all this running with me and I interrupted your whole day like this. And then he looked at me and he said something that I'll never forget because it was all about perspective. And I loved what he shared. He said to me, he said, are you kidding me? I get to do this. This is an amazing opportunity. This is way better than when I was serving in Afghanistan with bullets flying over my head. And I'm like, wow, you know, what an amazing perspective. He felt he gets to do this, where most people in that situation would be like, yeah, sure, I'll help you do it and have a bad attitude and stuff. And it challenged me to the point that I wonder if, and as I say, in my life, I was examining it and looking at it and saying, wow, is that how I follow Jesus? Do I have the perspective that I get to follow Jesus? Or do I just walk around kind of grumbling, complaining, kind of, you know, dragging my feet and saying, oh, yeah, well, another day, got to make the donuts kind of thing, got to do what I got to do, instead of being excited about that I get to serve the creator of the universe, that he wants to have a relationship with me. I get to go to him and talk to him about what's going on in my life, and he's going to help me with what's going on, what I'm going through, that we all get to walk with Jesus. This is such a fresh thing that we get to have this perspective, this angle of saying, I get to follow him. I don't have to do this. I get to do this. And I want to encourage you and even challenge you today in this word. And we're going to look at the life of Peter as a backdrop for what we're talking about today. So we're going to open up with a story in Luke chapter 5. So I'll give you a little backdrop on this. This is when Peter first gets invited by Jesus to follow him. So it's a big deal. So Jesus shows up, and every time, or well, let me back up. Peter's there. He's been fishing all night, and then he's on the shore because he caught nothing, and they're cleaning the nets. They're preparing for the next time they're going to go fishing. And Jesus shows up, and anytime Jesus shows up, there was a crowd with him, right? He attracted a bunch of people to him everywhere he went, and so he began to teach them, and there's so many that they start pressing against him, and he says, Peter, can I use your boat to magnify my voice, get out on the water so they can all hear me? I'm paraphrasing, he didn't say all this, but he asked Peter if he could use his boat. And Peter said, sure, yeah, go ahead. So he gets on his boat, preaches to the multitude, and then what happens is Jesus finishes, he looks at Peter and he says, hey, push out into the deep water and let down your nets. And Peter kind of gives this response of saying, all right, Jesus. Again, I'm paraphrasing, so give me a little poetic license here, but this is what he says, essentially. He's saying, okay, Jesus, I don't think this is going to work, but because you say to do it, I'll do it, which is such a good answer and something that we can have even, you know, as a reminder that we get to serve Jesus when he tells us to do something. Just do it. So he pushes out into the deep, lets down his nets, and he ends up catching the largest amount of fish he's ever seen. It's the biggest. The nets are starting to break. You know, they're hauling it in. And it's this amazing, miraculous catch of fish that he has. And he knows it's miraculous because it's the wrong time of day. It's the wrong time to be fishing. It's ridiculous that this worked. So he knows it's a miracle. So then he goes back to Jesus, and this is what he says. And this is where his story picks up in Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 8. It says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So this is extremely profound. So Simon Peter falls at Jesus' feet and says what many of us have probably said when we experience salvation. We said, Jesus, I don't deserve a relationship with you. I'm a mess. He's confronted with his flaws. He says, Jesus, you know, I'm a sinful man. I've got problems. You don't want me. Which, as I say, many of us have probably been in that position. And yet Jesus is saying, don't be afraid. I've got plans for you. Follow me. You will catch men from now on. Catch people. Which means you'll draw people to me. You'll bring people to Jesus. And that's something Jesus is saying to us today. He says, don't worry about your past. Don't worry about the mistakes you've made. I will forgive you. I will clean you up. Because that's what he does. He helps clean us up. It's not something anybody else can do for you, but Jesus can. And he accepts you and he loves you and he's saying, come, follow me. And as we do, just as Peter did, which is interesting too, because he just had the biggest miracle of his life at this point, the fish, and he left it all behind because he realized that that miracle wasn't actually about providing fish for him, but it was to build trust that he knew he could trust Jesus to help him in his life, to navigate his life, that he held the answers that he needed. In his lack, Jesus made it up. And Jesus used the miracle to build trust, just as he does in our life as well. When Jesus gives you miraculous events, when he shows you awesome things, it's not just about that miracle, but it's to build trust so you can know, he's got me. I get to walk with Jesus because he's got the answers. He's got the solution to my problem. He's got everything I need as I lean into him, as I continue to follow him. And this is an awesome revelation that Peter had here. What I do want to address, though, is sometimes, and my main point, or my first point here, rather, is we are at our best when Jesus is at the center of our lives. And Peter demonstrated this, right? He was at his best when he followed Jesus, when he answered Jesus. He said yes to him and did what he called him to do. And we are at our absolute best when Jesus is the center of our lives. But the reality is, sometimes that best that he has for us is uncomfortable. I know it's getting quiet in here. Sometimes it causes us to identify some of the wrong things in us. Sometimes it puts us in situations that are hard, that are difficult, because it identifies, it's in those hard times that we lean into Christ and we say, God, what's going on? I need your help because I'm unable to do this on my own. In 2019, I was working full-time here at the church, and then I also owned my own construction company that I had been doing for a bunch of years at that point. And God started prompting me and telling me it was time to let go of the construction company. And, you know, it was thriving at that point. I was doing more business than I'd ever done, you know, as I continued to grow it. God was blessing it. There was great things going on. There was no issues at that point. Things were going really good. Aside from the fact that, you know, I had a year-and-a-half-year-old daughter, my wife and I hardly got to see each other, you know, we're just running all over, just, you know, like ships in the night, and God started putting his finger on it and saying, "It's you got to let this go." And so I continued to process through that, and then eventually, by the end of that year, I passed it off to my brother, and he took it over, so he was running it, and I let that go, and I wish I could tell you that in that season, it was perfect. Everything fell into place, and everything was glorious, and God did this amazing thing. But can I tell you that up to this date, anyways, that was the hardest season of my life following right after that. Financially, difficulties, God started, and because I did that, and I believe this was part of God's plan in it, all of a sudden I had space to identify some flawed issues in me. Some things started coming up in the surface that because I was so busy just doing, I didn't even realize they were inside of me. And they were coming to the surface, some frustration, some selfishness, some wrong thinking, some things that were hindering me in my walk with God. And God began to bring that out and say, hey, we got to deal with this. Some of you, you might be going through that hardest season of your life, that difficulty, that challenging time, and you're saying, this is so uncomfortable. God, why are you doing this to me? And God's saying, I'm with you. Let's get past this, because I can tell you now that I'm on the other side of that 2 to 3 year season was so challenging, so difficult. But now on the other side, I am such a better person because I went through it. And God is doing a work in you that he will not leave unfinished. One of my favorite verses, I quote this all the time, it comes out a lot when I preach because it's been a theme in my life for this season that I've gone through. And it's, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. And that's in Galatians 6:9. So don't give up doing the good things. Continue doing the hard work that God's called you to, and you will reap a harvest in the end. But this is what I come full circle, and I wish I could tell you that that season of my life was absent of complaining and whining and moaning and all of that. But my wife would, you know, keep me honest and tell you the absolute truth that it was not. You know, I whined way more than I should have. I complained way more than I should have. But God's grace was there with me. He helped me walk through it, and he helped identify those issues. And that was even part of the issue, was my grumbling and complaining and correcting that wrong thinking that if I follow Jesus, it's all going to be easy. It's all going to just fall into place, because that's not the reality. In the end, it is, but there's some work he's got to do in us with our character that sometimes puts us in some difficult situations. I know that may not sound encouraging right now, but trust me, if you keep with it, continue to do the good God's called you to do, and on the other side, you'll be thankful that you did, because we get to serve Jesus, the creator of the universe. He's walking with us. He's helping you through your issues, helping you with what you're going through, because he loves you so dearly. Amen? All right. So the next thing we're going to jump into here, and this segues perfect into an encounter that Peter had with Jesus. And this is going to be found in John chapter 6. And this, Jesus gives a hard teaching to a group of people, a multitude that's there. He starts talking about things they didn't fully understand, didn't know how to embrace, and it says in the scripture that many left him, many abandoned following Jesus after he did this sermon, this talk. And then he turns to his disciples, Peter specifically, and the rest of the disciples, and he asks them, do you want to go too? Do you want to leave as well? And this is Peter's response, and I think there's something here for us today. This is John chapter 6, starting at verse 68. It says, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. And this is huge on my heart today, that we all would come to know and believe that Jesus is the Holy One of God and that he wants to walk with you. This was the top priority of his for coming to earth, was to die on the cross, to restore relationship between you and your Heavenly Father. To say, you are now made worthy because of my sacrifice to live and have a relationship with God. So I want to take a minute right now, in the middle of this message, to say, if you are here and you have not begun that relationship with God, I want to invite you to start that today. You say, that sounds great. The creator of the universe loves me. He wants to know me. He wants to walk with me. If that is you and you want to begin that journey, I'm not going to embarrass you and call you up the front, but I just ask that right where you're sitting, you raise your hand so I can see it, so we can acknowledge it, and we'll pray together. But if you're here, even right now as I'm speaking, just raise up your hand if you want to accept Jesus into your life. As I said, I'm not going to call you up front. I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you or call you out. But if you're here and you want to make that decision, that is available for you today. Okay. All right. As I say, God's doing some cool stuff here. If you're feeling a little shy about it, you want to do that, come and see me at the end. I'll be happy to talk with you about it. If there's anybody here that wants to make that decision, we are available and we love you. We want to help walk you through this because it's good. God's got good things on the other side of that decision. So, amen? All right. So, with that being said, so Peter makes this declaration, and that's our heart because we can all go deeper in our knowledge of that Jesus is the Holy One of God. So, my oldest daughter is about 6 years old, and they're an absolute joy. I love my kids so much. They're so much fun. And I don't know if this is good parenting, so you can judge me if you want for this, but sometimes when my daughter does something really great that I love seeing and just brings joy to my heart, my response is I want to bless her. So often I'll give her a little treat, I'll give her a gift, something, you know, just to say, wow, I noticed that you did something awesome here, and I want to reward you for that. Again, as I say, maybe not the best parenting. But I would do that, and then one day I was praising her for something she did, and I was saying, you did such an awesome job, I really appreciated this. And she looked at me and said, so what do I get? Turned me right off to it, right? I wonder, and again, I believe God put this on my heart because he showed me areas I do this with him in, but how many of us do this with God? Where we're serving him, we're doing what the Bible says, we're doing this, and meanwhile, we're putting our hands back and saying, so when is the blessing coming, God? What do I get? And God's saying, I've given you all that I have. You get to walk with me. You get to be with me. I give you all that I have, all that I am. I sacrifice my son for you. He's saying, I'm a good father. I will take care of you. You can trust me. You don't have to worry about that. And so my daughter and I had that conversation. Listen, I'll take care of you. You don't have to ask this way. You know, it's not, you know, this. It can't be an entitlement attitude. Because I imagine that turns God off too. Right? But we need to do it because it's the right thing, not because we're looking for the next blessing or hoping God notices and gives us a special favor or something like that, but simply because we love him and we want to bless him. I wrote this down as I was preparing this because I thought it was profound, and it'll show up on the screen. It says, in a world where most are asking, what is in this for me? We get the opportunity to ask, how can I bless Jesus in this situation? I want to challenge you today. In your weekly activities, in what you're doing, how you're treating others in your life, that you would think of this week. How can I bless Jesus in this situation? Not because I want some special reward, not because I'm hoping he gives me special favor, because he's already given you rewards. He's already given you special favor, simply because you love him and you want to be a good kid for him. You want to bless him. You want to bring joy to his heart as a loving child does for their parents. They want to make their parents proud, and he is proud of you. So keep living in that, walking in that, and trust that he's going to take care of you because he promises he will. So don't do it with the wrong motive, the wrong intention. Just do it because you know it would please him. So I challenge you as you're thinking, and even now, if God's putting something on your heart and saying, hey, keep following me in this area, even though it's hard, even though it's difficult, even though it's challenging, don't give up doing the good that I've called you to do. And I will take care of you, because he will. He's a good father. Amen? All right. We're going to look at another encounter that Peter had with Jesus. And this one's found in John chapter 21. And for those of you who know Peter's history a bit, this is after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And Peter had a bit of a dark time in that season, right? When Jesus went to the cross, he denied even knowing Jesus. He denied, you know, being a part of his disciple group. He denied all of that, and he felt instantly guilty about it. He felt regret, wished he never did that. So he's hanging out with the disciples. Jesus showed up a couple times to them, but nothing dramatic happened with Peter at this point. And then Peter, as he's hanging out with the disciples, Jesus, as I say, has shown up a couple times, and they're figuring out what to do. And he says to them, I'm going fishing. A few of the disciples say, we'll go with you, which is an interesting landmark because fishing is where Jesus found Peter in the first place. And one could assume or believe that this was an indication that Peter's saying, it's too hard. I regret too much. I'm not worthy of Jesus again. So I'm going back to my old way of living. So maybe you're here today and you're on the verge of that decision. Maybe you've already made that decision. You got dragged here by a friend, a family member, or something. You're saying, I don't know. I'm not worthy. I've messed up too bad. And then Jesus shows up. So they're fishing. And every time we hear about Peter going fishing, unless Jesus is involved, he basically catches nothing. Kind of like our life, right? When we're doing things on our own strength, we're not amounting to much, not really making much happen. Because without him, we're not at our best. And so Jesus shows up, and this is where our story begins. So they're fishing, catching nothing, and John 21, starting at verse 4, says, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? Almost rubbing it in a little bit, right? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. He goes right for Jesus, and we're going to pause the reading right there. For the sake of time, we're not going to read over the whole passage, but I encourage you to check it out because there's this beautiful interaction that Peter has with Jesus where he's restored and declared forgiven for what he did. And it's this beautiful interaction. So read on in that on your own. But what we're going to focus on is his response, that as soon as he heard it was Jesus, he jumped in and went racing towards him. This time he doesn't fall on his knees and say, I'm unworthy. He just runs to Jesus because he knows in Jesus, like we discovered in our past point there, that he is the Holy One of God and he has the words of life. So I'm giving up everything I have in the boat to jump in and go towards him. What a picture for us today. To give up whatever it is we've gained, whatever we've accumulated, to say, I just need to be with Jesus wherever he's at. I believe today God is calling us to renew that energy, that heart, to say, I get to follow Jesus. I can't let anything substitute that. I need to abandon whatever it is that's distracting me from him and pursue him. Because in that is the words of life for our situation, for what we're going through, for our future, for what all that he has for us, because we get to serve him. And it's this powerful picture that God gives us in these passages that's just so profound. So my third point in this is Jesus shows up to show a better way. And I love how every time he encountered Peter, he said, throw the net on the other side. Just make this subtle change, make this little tweak. And there's areas in your life where God's saying, yeah, you've strived, you've strained, you're trying to do this thing. Just do this. And he's got the solution. He's got the answer. But are you going to him? Are you praying to him? Are you seeking his will in that situation? Because sometimes there's seasons we have to go through to get stuff exposed in us, to get things out of us and all of that. Because sometimes knowledge isn't enough, right? We have to experience some things. We've got to go through some difficulties to see what's actually being squeezed out of our life, to bring it to the surface. Then other times, all we need is a simple word. Hey, throw your net on the other side. Let's commit to doing it his way today. Because as we do that, we will discover he's got the best way. He's got the better way for us. And then when he shows up, it's to show us a better way. So as I'm wrapping up today, I felt strongly on my heart as I was preparing that there's some individuals here that you are dealing with and struggling with worry, is what God really pinpointed, worry. So that can be anxiety, that can be about a job situation, a financial situation, your future. It could be about a million different things. Could even be about your relationship with God. Again, Peter probably felt he was unworthy of Jesus' love and acceptance, especially after he denied him. But Jesus showed up to show him that Jesus has not given up on him. And I want to encourage you today, too, that you have not failed to the point that he cannot use you until you decide to quit getting up. And Peter discovered that in that encounter he had with Jesus, where he said, you have not messed up so bad that I can't use you. You've never failed so badly that God cannot redeem you and restore you and use you. Because he loves you. He's got a plan and a purpose for you. So keep leaning into him, because you cannot mess that up too badly. Regardless of your past mistakes, regardless of your sins, lean into him and he will use you in a powerful way. So back to the worry here. The scripture gives us a passage that contains the antidote to that, the remedy to worry. So I want to read this to you here quickly. It's Matthew 6, 31 through 33. It says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." That's the remedy. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So if you're worrying, you're having sleepless nights, you're having some issues, surrender that to Jesus and say, okay, God, show me how to seek your kingdom first. I'll tell you, a big benefit in that is reminding ourselves of the title of this message, that we get to serve God. It's reminding ourselves of that beautiful dance that Amelia performed for us today here, of saying, I'm counting my blessings rather than what is the problem in my life. I'm looking at the good things you're bringing into my life. Because God is a good father. He's given you good gifts. He loves you dearly, and he's not abandoning you to your own devices. He loves you, and we get to serve him. So I want to challenge you this week, as you're going through your stuff, because I know we all have stuff. We've all got bad moments, some tough times we're going through. Be reminded, we get to do this. We don't have to do this. We get to serve Jesus. And it is such a blessing to be able to do that alongside of you and with you. With that being said, I want to invite you to stand to your feet if you're able to, as we bring this to a close today. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, I want to invite you to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me today through this message? You could do that out loud. You could do it quietly to yourself, however you're comfortable doing it. And as he starts stirring something in you, or something's resonated throughout the message today, and you know the Holy Spirit's putting his finger on that for you, I want to ask that, just as I close in prayer, that you raise your hands to him in acknowledgement of saying, God, I'm surrendering this to you today. Whatever that area is. So as he begins to pinpoint that, feel free to raise your hands up all around this room. Lord Jesus, you see your people here, and you see the hands being raised, those that are saying, God, I need to turn this over. I need to go the better way that you've called me to go. I need to surrender this worry. I need to put your kingdom first. You see all the things that you're pinpointing in your children's lives right now, God. And I thank you for it. I ask that you would continue to strengthen them, that you would continue to reveal your will in those situations, that they would have clarity, they would know what it is you're telling them to do, and they will act in obedience to it, knowing that your way is always better than our way, that you've called us to live for you, and that we get to serve you, we get to walk with you. Such an honor and a privilege, and we're so blessed, we're so pleased that you sacrificed yourself for us. And I thank you for these individuals here. I ask that you bless them as they go, that you would continually remind them to keep their perspective on you, your kingdom, and the reality that we get to walk with you. So bless them as they go. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you would like prayer for any area, please feel free to come and see me. I would love to pray for you. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Oh, also, there is a missions meeting happening right up over here. If you're interested in a mission trip to the DR, you can meet right up here on my left, your right side. Thank you.